I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Hello and welcome to In Universe, where we talk the ins and outs of all our favorite fictional universes. I'm Andrew.
I'm Adam.
And we're doing Star Wars. We're doing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is it Obi-Wan Kenobi? Is it just Kenobi?
I think it's just Kenobi. No, is it Obi-Wan?
Or is it
Obi-Wan?
Just Obi-Wan? No,
it's Obi-Wan. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
What is
this show called?
Obi-Wan Kenobi or
Obi-Wan? You know?
No, I know it.
Because it's in the title, because I looked. Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's his full name.
Okay, one of the, I know one of, it at least has one eye in there, because one of the eyes is his lightsaber. Which, hey, marketing department, cool move.
Yeah, marketing department. Way to do the obvious move. Should have made it the back of the B.
Yeah, should have made it one of the sticks of the W.
Or the K.
Is there a W in Obi-Wan?
Yeah, Wan.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was thinking,
he's not Obi-Wan.
I in my brain it was just Obi Kenobi, which I wish that was his name.
Obi Kenobi. Anyway,
but,
yeah,
we're talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi today.
Spoilers, as you saw in the title.
Yeah, spoilers.
Not that there's much to spoil, really.
Yeah, look, I was really looking forward to this show. My excitement for it sort of took rises and dips. Look, I'll say this, the show's not terrible. It's not like it's a watchable show. It's not bad.
It's not as bad as the Book of Boba Fett by any means.
Yeah, Book of Boba Fett. The strong words from someone who watched two episodes of Boba Fett.
And it was awful. They were some of the worst two episodes of TV I've ever seen.
Mind,
I don't make a habit of watching bad television. If I, as shown here, if I get the inkling that a show is bad, I stop watching.
But I gotta say, this one feels pretty disappointing. And it does, it feels even more like that because, like, Mandalorian, and then I guess the Book of Boba Fett and like the other shows, they feel like they're more targeted towards a general audience, where it's like, you guys know Star Wars, but this is like for everyone. But they sort of marketed this and pitched it as, oh, this is more for Star Wars fans. Like, this is what, like, especially prequel fans.
Yeah, this is for your
this
big
is what
Star
you guys
War
have been
heads.
Waiting for.
This is your you hate
and so,
Rose,
like,
Tico's character.
You
hate that there's more diversity in Star Wars. This show is what's for you.
What the fuck is that? What I'm saying, I was a part of that.
No. I'm joking. This was heavily advertised as, like, for you guys who love the prequels and Ewan McGregor and all that, this is for you. That's why they got Ewan and they got Anakin. And
because of that, like the prequels, which I've always liked, except for the first one, because I think that one's boring, even though Qui-Gon Jinn, I'm a big sucker for the Qui-Gon.
Okay, so we've already said spoilers. This is a spoiler for the last episode, whatever. So Qui-Gon's ghost shows up. Remind me, because I genuinely don't remember. Is Qui-Gon as Irish in the prequels as he is in this show?
He's a bit Irish. He's got a bit Irish, but yeah, it's you can really sense it when coming through. That was, I guess we'll mention that now while we're talking about it. That bugged me heaps as a Star Wars fan, the fact that he showed up. Because he's not supposed to be able to do that. Like, that's like a whole thing. Like, so he's the one who discovered the Force ghost thing as like
right, that's his technique.
So he kind of got a prototype version of that where he was only a voice. And then when he, like, showed Yoda this, Yoda was the one who, like, figured out, okay, I could come back as, like, a Force ghost thing. So he should not be able to do that.
I guess once Yoda figured it out.
I guess
Yoda told him.
Yoda
like,
told his voice.
Yeah, like, hey man, you're not doing this up to snuff. You could be doing better, Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Although that implies that Force ghosts can learn Force techniques that were like as their ghosts.
Because like Yoda didn't know how to like
summon a Force lightning bolt. Yeah. I guess.
Because what else are you gonna do? You're gonna spend your time with the Flash when he's inside the Speed Force and he comes out and he's like, oh, I learned all these Speed Force tricks.
My point then is, why do we ever need any living Jedi if Ghost Jedi can just continuously train, don't need to eat, drink, and be basically anywhere?
Because we only have like four that could do that. I guess that's the first part of the answer.
Darth Vader can do it.
Yeah, so that's how it Qui-Gon taught Yoda, and then either Qui-Gon or Yoda taught Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan taught Anakin.
Okay.
And yeah.
So when did Qui-Gon discover Force ghosting? He would went after he died, presumably.
No, like I think it was pre-death.
So how do you master the skill of being a ghost before you? Well, no,
I think there was just like he figured out like the concept that it was possible.
Okay.
And then like,
because I was like, gonna say perhaps it's a situation where he discovered that he could separate his consciousness from his physical body.
Yeah, and that is a Force skill. But yeah, maybe it's like an extension of that. Whatever. That was just
we're getting into the weeds.
I will say when he turned around, it did make me smile. I was happy to see him.
Well, and I laughed. I laughed outwardly because he was very Irish. I like Liam Neeson. He's a good actor in a lot of the stuff he does. The majority of it is B-grade nonsense where he's a bad actor, but he's a good actor.
I don't know. Even he's in a lot of kind of dog shit, but even in that, he's sort of better than the other people around.
Yes, but that's not a high bar.
Yeah, you can still tell he's like,
he's not going it
giving,
in.
He's collecting a paycheck.
Right. And one thing I do like, and it's an energy I love when it's in Star Wars. It's clear he doesn't give a shit. They brought him on set.
Yeah, he's put him in costume.
I love Harrison Ford's attitude to these movies. He's been doing this for a while, Liam Neeson, where whenever he's in a role, he like refuses.
It sounds like you're describing this to Liam Neeson. Like, yeah, well, Liam Neeson, let me teach you about Liam Neeson for a second.
He's been doing this for a while where in any role he is, regardless of background, he just doesn't bother with an accent. He just does his natural accent, which I don't, who cares?
Yeah, look, but it's fair. Maybe you get more Irish in some parts of the Force after that.
I just think it's super funny that like he shows up and is like he clearly shows up, says some fucking nonsense.
There was absolutely no reason for him to show up other than him going, I'm here. I came.
Obi-Wan. Let's go have chats in your cave.
Well, no, I do. The ending of that show, I guess the big character moment for him was moving from a cave to a house. Like, that was a big transition.
But, like, in the original trilogy, and it's been a long
time. He lives in a house.
He doesn't live in a cave?
No, house? he lives in a house like Owen's house.
Where it's like one of the little pod houses. Boy? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But
Also, anyways, hey, how are those houses designed? Why do they have a little walkway and sand underneath? Like, well, a little pit inside?
They're designed underground. That's just sort of the door to get in.
Okay, but why? Why do we have a little sand pit inside the dome?
It's cooler underground.
Yeah, but in the dome, why is there sand? You would have had to excavate that to put the inside.
I don't know. They made it out of sand. It's all sandstone. Whatever. Anyways, before all of that bullshit we were talking about, what I was saying was, like the prequels, and like how I'm a fan of the prequels, I was so willing to give this show a lot of slack if it just gave me some enjoyable Star Wars. And it really didn't. There's a couple of scenes I was like, yeah, I enjoy that. I'm glad how Star Wars that is. But it just didn't give me enough of it, and it wasn't, and it was also a bad show not giving me enough of it.
Right. So, yeah, you spoke a little bit about how, like, excited for this show you were and stuff like that, and I think it's come up before on our program, but I'm not a huge Star Wars head.
Oh, you think that's come up before? You think that might have popped up before? Maybe not every time we've ever talked about Star Wars ever?
I'm not a big Star Wars head. But I like Ewan McGregor as an actor. Mm-hmm. And so when I first heard about the show, I was willing to give it some benefit of the doubt. But as it got closer and closer to being releasing, and I saw some stuff, and I just sort of lost interest for me. Like you said, this is marketed towards your big Star Wars heads, which, mm-hmm. again, I'm not. And so the questions that this show was set up to answer.
Oh, that is one of my biggest. Nothing to me. Yeah, that was one of my biggest things. Was so there is the line that Darth Vader says in Return of the Jedi when I think it's Return of it or is it Empire? It's one of the times him and Luke are dueling, and Luke's trying to convince him to come back to the light side, and he says Obi-Wan once thought as you do. Like he tried to do this to me before and he failed. But like when you see that happen, that's not what happened. Obi-Wan's just like, guess I gotta kill you.
Yeah, he's like, and I guess I'm gonna fucking chop your head off or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, I'll do what I must, and he fights him or whatever, and then he leaves him burned alive on the side of a thing. And then so like there's been some stuff that touched on like hinted towards, oh, they've had interactions, at least one interaction between like Obi-Wan and this and Darth Vader, and there's hints throughout the original series that in episode 3 that wasn't the final time they've seen each other. So I've been real excited, was real excited about the prospect of, hey, that's what we're exploring here. But most of the show isn't that. For one, here's my biggest problem with this show. This show should have been two different shows. And no, this show should have been one show and a movie.
I thought you were going to say this show should have been two episodes.
And one, you know, It should have been like an hour and 40 minutes or whatever. You should have had, I think the plot line of Leia being in trouble, and that's what brings Obi-Wan out from protecting Luke.
Yeah,
because there's no other reason that he should care other than protecting these two kids. You should have had that, and then like him up again. Vader should have been the antagonist of the Obi-Wan show, or I think movie, and it should have been just all, maybe it's a goose chase between them. Not a goose chase.
Yeah, it's a goose chase.
It's a goose
where,
chase.
Where Obi-Wan's not actually around and Darth Vader's just spinning in his wheels. But no, you're right. To that point, from memory, this was planned to be a movie.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was probably partially due to COVID, but also just due to the Disney Plus becoming Disney Plus becoming a service that it had a lot of stuff, but not a lot of new stuff people wanted to watch, and wanting more Star Wars on there, it somehow got evolved into what it is now. And you're right, I think in the stretching process,
yeah, they needed to fill it out. And like, what do we fill it out with? And I think that's where that character Reva was introduced, which she's getting a lot of hate. I think her character concept is interesting.
I do like her setup arc. I don't think it really goes anywhere.
Yeah,
cleverly.
I do like the idea of so there's like the game Jedi Fallen Order where Cal Kestis is a Padawan and he survived.
He survived 66, right?
Padawan, when he was a Padawan. I like the idea of looking at the flip side of that coin, where you're always told that the Inquisitors are like different force users taken from different places. Like there's, I know one of them was like a temple guard at the
right. And several of them are specifically like at least throwaway line. They are, some of them are Padawans who survive.
Yeah. Order and the 66. The idea of focusing on a Padawan that's that is really interesting to me. She should not have been the antagonist of this show.
No, if anything, she could have been the pilot's antagonist, just to then almost be like a leveling up of, okay, she's this, they kind of deal with her.
Yeah,
now the scales have gone up. Now you brought, by fighting her, you brought Vader's attention down on yourself, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And honestly, she probably would have been a much more interesting character had she become something of a supporting character to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that,
less
that
of an antagonist,
been, yeah.
Not even like a sidekick, even, but just a character in a similar spot, maybe more anti-heroic.
Especially
or anything.
When you learn of her motivation isn't going after Obi-Wan, it's using him as bait. And
right, I think that would have been at least on paper more interesting.
Yeah, it definitely.
And like you were saying, the actress who plays Reva, right?
Reva, yeah.
I'm really glad you
the
said
third
her
third sister
first, because I was definitely gonna say Revan if I was asked what her name
was.
Oh
yeah, Revan.
That's a different
cool.
guy.
That's
in Star
a different
Wars.
Guy.
But
I
yeah.
would, well, I don't, maybe not so much anymore. But I would love to see Revan things.
But yeah. So the actress has gotten a lot of hate, and a lot of it has been pretty racist for like no reason. That's fucked up, guys.
I hate how fucking loud stupid people
yeah,
are.
Yeah, like look, I mean obviously
like,
I would like to
a,
think that this is a small portion
yeah,
of the Star Wars fandom. And it has to be. Star Wars is huge.
It's such a problem in fan bases when you have the loudest people make the fan bases look like terrible people.
Yeah.
It's so fucking annoying.
And I genuinely don't get it. Because, like, I'm not Reva's biggest fan. I think your character could have been done better. And I honestly...
She did in this feel really... What's the word I want to go with? She... Stonewall is the kind of description I want. She felt very flat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Like, I like this actress as, like, an actress. I think, you know, she's trying. But she mm-hmm. feels very amateurish. She feels like a new actor. And I'm not even sure she is.
Yeah.
But she's not given a lot of range to really work on here. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm sure on the script and on paper, it sounds like she does. The scene where she's confronting Obi-Wan about, you know, all of her friends dying, you killed all my buddies kind of thing.
Yeah, you weren't there to save me.
That on paper is a huge emotional moment, and I don't think she sells it that well.
Yeah, that would have really pissed me off if I was Obi-Wan, because she's like, oh, where were you when they came out? I was dealing with Order 66 too. There was a lot of people, like, I was fucking hustling out there, my dude.
So, what was he doing during? Was he right? Was that when he was riding that lizard?
Yeah, he was riding that lizard, and they shot him down, and he fell down into a big crevasse.
He should have told her that. He should have been like, "I was just riding my best friend, a lizard, and then they shot me down into a crevasse."
There is a one scene that it's super good that it got cut out, but. It's really funny to me, so I wouldn't hate it if it wasn't cut out. But it's when Obi-Wan and Yoda, when they get to the temple and they see all the dead Jedi and everything, and they try and figure out what's going on. where a bunch of Jedi come out and they're like, they're all rogue figures and like, oh, this terrible thing has happened. But they all have Tamara Morrison's voice and you can see his face up there. And it's clearly clones wearing Jedi robes.
It's clearly clones trying to fucking.
Yeah, and it's like, did you think this was going to work the second you opened your mouth? And Yoda and Obi-Wan just killed him. And him being like, oh, I was actually outside. There was these clones.
There was so many clones pretending to be Jedi. But like, they were all from New Zealand. I could tell.
But yeah, if he told her that right then, that would have fucking destroyed me. I love that scene. If you guys haven't seen that deleted scene, look it up. It's fucking hilarious.
I had no idea that existed.
It's a really smart thing that it was cut out, but it's so.
It's legitimately destroying me right now that George Lucas let them cut that. That sounds exactly his shit.
Yeah, I know it was his idea. Like, but it's so ridiculous that you gotta imagine
fight that must have been.
He's watching this, and he finally questions himself. He's like, is this too far?
And he's talking to his best friend, like Steven Spielberg. And he's like, George, you gotta cut this scene. It's so dumb.
You gotta cut it out. You didn't listen to me about the midichlorians. Look where it led. You gotta drop the fake Jedi scene.
Oh my God. What I would have killed to be in that meeting.
But
jokes aside, that's a decently powerful moment that, given to the right actor or actress, could have been like a huge deal, like could have easily propelled you into being one of the like most complex and interesting characters in Star Wars. And I don't think they really do.
That's my biggest problem with this show, is it's got a good amount of moments that should be really powerful.
And they just fall aren't. So yeah, flat. They're just so empty.
There was one where I felt like, I was like, okay, this is what I wanted from the whole show. And it's very much like a scene in Rebels. It's like poetry, it rhymed. Where in Rebels, Ahsoka, and the one in Rebels works so much better because of the one reason where Ahsoka didn't know Darth Vader was Anakin. And then she did the same thing where she sliced the mask open. You see the half the face and she sees it's Anakin, and that's it. Like, it hits her so hard. And I think a moment that I think it was probably the most powerful moment of the show, but like not as much as it really could have been.
Yeah. That's not really saying much at this point.
Is when Obi-Wan does that and you see the half of the Anakin face and everything. But I know it's a different message and everything.
There's completely different context, but
yeah,
because it's so similarly framed, I get what you mean, how they should have a similar amount of energy, but they don't.
But they don't. But I did really like the scene, and I really liked the line, although it felt like Vader was being a bit too nice until at the end he said, I'll kill you, or whatever, where he's like, oh, Anakin's not your failure. You didn't kill him.
Oh, yeah. You didn't kill Anakin. I did. A line that is seemingly only there so that when in the original trilogy he tells Luke that Darth Vader killed his father or whatever, he's telling the truth now instead of lying.
That line was much stronger when it was like the message, like how Obi-Wan felt about the situation. Or Darth Vader killed, like if it wasn't so blatantly spelled out by Darth Vader.
If it wasn't him being like, no, dude, you're off the hook. You're all good.
But I did think it was a really good character moment for Vader himself, because a big problem I have with Anakin Skywalker as a character is it's really hard to see him as like being the same person.
Okay, I was Vader. Just gonna get into the Anakin we see in the prequels and the Darth Vader we see in the original trilogy. They seem like they're on completely different planets from each other.
So the more, and Star Wars does this, the more it enforces that they are not the same person mentally, that it's a different person with just small glimpses and feelings of
He's buried all of his old into the new.
I think the better it is, and I do think this was a really good moment, especially in the live action, which we don't have much of. A moment for that, because we got a lot. It's a good thing. It's a big thing in Clone Wars, that like that thing that happened in Rebels that I just mentioned. That's one of the themes in that, that she realizes it's Anakin, and he's like, it's not, Anakin's dead. But I'm glad we got that in not a movie, which it should have been in, but in the live action space of Star Wars.
So I've spent the last however many minutes since we started recording trying to remember the name of Anakin's actor. Hayden Christensen. I just caught it when I was thinking about it. He's wasted in the, I don't know why they marketed so much that he's coming back.
Yeah, that was it was such a big thing. One of the best, for one, okay, Disney, pick a fucking lane, okay? You will fucking CGI the shit out of someone's face. But when it comes to simple de-aging, where it's like, yeah, you just make them look a bit younger, you decide not to?
It's a strange bow to draw for them to be like, oh, we've learned that recasting is a mistake. Don't do it. We're instead going to digitally recreate every human being.
Yeah, we'll take a totally different guy and paste Mark Hamill's face onto that guy, but we won't take some like a the
we
guy
won't just they are and blush make them the look wrinkles out of his face.
Yeah,
we won't even apply enough makeup to make it look like he's younger. We won't even insane. Give him a better wig. Hell,
look, to be fair, they did. I don't think they did anything in that scene for Ewan McGregor, but compare Hayden Christensen.
Look, Ewan McGregor is a beautiful human being and has aged amazingly.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen isn't ugly by any
means. Yeah, you're not ugly. You look, actually, you're a handsome man, but.
But you have clearly aged more than Ewan. Which makes sense. He was much younger than Ewan McGregor.
He was like 17, I think, when he started.
Right, and now he's like 45 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. That's a way huger, wow, grammar's gone. That's a way bigger jump from Ewan going from what, like 30 something to 50 something?
Yeah.
Like the amount your body changes.
I'm not sure how old he was when he started, but yeah, it was a much like lesser leap.
Yeah, as you get older, you look, aging seems to affect you less and less for certain people.
Yeah, he was so wasted. Well, I could have done with so. I really did like that flashback scene. Like,
it was cool. It was
I could have used so much more of that.
If that had been a recurring motif, that would have been great.
Yeah, no, it would have been. I would have loved to see different like eras of them together. Like that was around the time of
mullet
like
haircuts.
Episode 3, but yeah, more episode 2 eras and everything.
In the grips of his decline, even.
Maybe you even get like another kid Anakin when Obi-Wan's first started training Anakin. That's something we haven't seen. Like we jumped straight to teenager, like pretty well into it.
What beyond that flashback, when else is he used? There's that scene in the mountains when he's just standing there.
Yeah, when he turns around and then when he's in the back of the tank and under that mask slash.
Wait, he was in the back of the tank? Didn't he just get some random guy and covering him in goo?
I'm pretty sure that's him in the goo.
Okay, because I couldn't tell.
They talked about him putting on the makeup.
Okay. Because I honestly couldn't tell. He could have been any stunt guy in goo. Yeah, could have been
anybody. Like, there's a pretty cool looking like fan film that has a very similar thing where Vader's in goo, and like that not being Hayden Christensen.
You can't tell. It's better that you can't tell, because that's to sell the whole. He's no longer Anakin.
He's not. For them to market so much that.
We're working together. It's so fun.
For him to be in like all of the interviews, basically.
Right. To talk so much about it. He was wasted.
I'm not a
legacy guy. I'm not I want to see guy I recognize. But if you're going to talk so much about this being guy I recognize the show, it's weird to not have it.
Yeah. I am very happy that he did come back, though. Because I feel like he got to experience very recently, maybe it's because of the sequels, but because people have come more around on the prequels, they've come very much more around on him, to where when he was in Star Wars, like, he got so much hate.
Everybody who was in those movies did. There's lots of stories of Jar Jar Binks's actor, like, being suicidal because of it.
He was like the biggest target.
There was young Anakin on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. He got so much hate that he still like deals with his day. And Hayden was no stranger to it.
He was a massive target for it. But I'm very glad he got to experience the love of the fans, like, coming back.
Yeah, that is nice. I'm sure going to premieres and people being happy to see him was nice.
If there's any reason, I have to fucking slam the shit out of it. Like, I did, like I said, really did enjoy that flashback scene. It's just, I'm glad he was back, but he should have been back more. And I know that's not his choice. The writers should have really used him.
Right. He, there's no better word for it. He was wasted. They had the opportunity there. You know, that being said, it's surprising the pulls they want you to, like, what is a guy from Rebels who's an Inquisitor? Him being in live action was like another part of the marketing, even though he's not really in it that much, but I don't give a shit. The show is really built upon, I recognize that, you know, it's reference guy. And like, I'm surprised they didn't use it.
It's kind of marketed that way, but then it's not. So like, so you're like doing a lot for the people that are like, I'm excited for that kind of content. You're not only disappointing them with a bad show, you're not even giving that very easy
points. And it's so weird to use that and not use it for actual emotional weight with like Natalie Portman is on the set of Disney right now. She's working with Thor.
You couldn't have her
pop in a flashback for a few seconds.
Oh, that would have been so good.
There's so much talk of young Leia, who, hey, the child actress is great. She's super fun.
She's one of the best parts of the show. She's pretty good as a child actress, and she really, like, surprisingly, really, like, embodies the character of who Leia is. Like, because there's a lot of talk in Expanded Universe that Leia's been Leia, even at a very young age. She's been, like, who she is as a person for, like, a while. And getting a kid that can actually do that was really impressive.
Yeah. And, like, I'm not super here for old man and young child, the story again. That's a pretty common trope nowadays. But I think the way they do it in the show isn't bad.
That's one of the better chemistry together is one of the better things.
Their interactions, their plot is probably one of the better aspects of the show.
Although I will say, so one of the things we talked about is them sort of like them dealing with some of the problems and gaps that Star Wars has had. I think the show does a lot of making more of those than the ones it fills and fixes. Because, like, if she was this close to, Obi-Wan, I understand, Gary, you helped my, like, making it, I don't know this guy, but I know he can help, like, making it seem like you don't know him. When you're like, yeah, I know he can help and everything. But when he died on the Death Star, and you barely even, like, considered it being a thing. Like, it seems like that should have been a much worse thing, where you're like, oh, that was a friend who died.
Right, not a guy I know who's good. Yeah. And, like,
and there's a lot of that throughout the show. Like, Luke, I don't know if he barely, maybe he just didn't see it or whatever, but him going up against a Sith Lord, basically, before any of this was really dumb. Yeah,
you think you would have brought that up when
he shows him a lightsaber and he's like, oh yeah, I saw this. That lady tried to kill me with that.
Yeah, the lady had a red one that I'm pretty sure she could have spin and use as a helicopter.
I think she only had one of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Easy fix, because Darth Vader, he took those from her. She could have showed up and with not had a lightsaber, just been some chick in a robe who chased Luke. That's an easier pill to swallow. But I don't know why she fucking pulled up her lightsaber. And then that's another thing. Everybody in the show is so fucking stupid. Bail Organa is supposed to be this really smart guy. Why would he send fucking Obi-Wan like a fucking voicemail being like, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. If I don't hear from you in a bit, I'll go to Tatooine and find Owen for the boy.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, I hope this doesn't get intercepted in any process of this getting to you.
Dude, Obi-Wan knows who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
he knows.
I'm going to go check on the other package. You don't have to say where and by whom. You guys both know that.
Yeah, it's so fucking annoying. And then the fact that Obi-Wan gave that to a fucking known liar and a crook who, like,
just some guy immediately honestly, was scamming people.
Like, oh shit, this is worth money? Yeah, here you go. And then that fucking idiot drops it. And, oh, everybody was so fucking stupid. And it was a bunch of stupid series of dumb events to lead up to her showing up to Luke, which was a very unnecessary thing to happen. That just didn't need to happen.
It really didn't. So there's a lot of unearned stuff in this show. Like they bring in the rebel lady who was a Nazi, not a Nazi, Empire person.
Yeah.
Just like a Nazi. That's where my confusion
comes. Well, yeah, the Imperial, they're fast.
They're Nazis. Like, I don't know how to tell you this, Star Wars fan, if you didn't pick up on that. Their soldiers are called stormtroopers. That's a Nazi thing. Anyway.
But, look, I love stormtroopers. Actually, no. Fuck that. That was a problem with this show. I had in this show. Well, the one thing stormtroopers have is overwhelming force, overwhelming numbers to take over. Like, that's the whole idea of Order 66.
Well, yeah, that's why they're why fucking worked. Bullshit yeah. Or whatever.
Clones were way more skilled in everything. Like, they could get the job done. But the idea of why stormtroopers are even a threat is when you have enough of them, eventually they're going to hit. And the fact that, like, a whole wall of them shooting into a little thing couldn't fucking hit, like, anything, especially Obi-Wan, which I would have been far more accepting if Obi-Wan was doing, like, the prequel spins, like, super quick.
Right, like it would have looked goofy, but
shield.
Look, at least it would have made sense.
I love the prequel spins. I understand, like, what's the point of them or whatever, but as for blocking blasters, they make way more sense than standing in front of each other, spinning your lightsaber heaps for fun. But if he was doing that, but he was just like every once in a while, oh, there's one, and then he'll do it. He kept doing this thing where he would jump up on one foot and swing it like a bat.
God, that's amazing.
And I enjoyed that, but I'm like, how is he not getting shot?
There's many a joke has been said of the stormtrooper's inability to aim, but this is pushing it to ridiculous degrees.
Yeah, and then. Like, I love me an incompetent stormtrooper. I love a stormtrooper where you hit him with a pipe, he goes out. But the chick, whatever you said her name was, she literally slaps one of her fucking...
I saw that, yeah!
She slaps one in the side of the head, and he's like, oh, fuck!
Like, he drops maybe to the ground.
If you made it more comedic and like understand, like his helmet spins and it's backwards or whatever, he's like, oh, fuck, I'm just being like, that fucking took me out.
Not even that. To me, that seems like he was like, this is my chance to drop to the floor without actually being shot or stabbed.
Because he didn't drop to the floor. He got hit, and she's dealing with the other guy, and he's off behind a guy, like holding his helmet, like reacting, like, I got fucking slapped. Oh,
it's so weird.
It's so funny.
And like that scene, she gets shot in the gut, drops to the ground. Big robot sacrifice. So big robot, best character in the show by far.
Oh yeah, best character in the show.
Look, I got a soft spot for droids, but he rules.
He got the most emotion out of anybody in the show, and
he's the only one who got me to be even slightly emotional in this show.
Yeah, like his sacrificing himself wasn't all that emotional because it was fucking slow motion. No, don't do it, and it was all about the girl. But him being like just a good guy.
Yeah, he rules. I love when they were searching for Obi-Wan and Leia in the back of his machine shop or whatever, and they're like, "Hey, asshole, you know where these fuckers
are?" Yeah, those are the stormtroopers I love. Hey. There's nothing behind this fucking wall, is there?
But him holding a hammer behind his, like, a regular hammer. I was like, this guy fucking ruled. He's going to claw their heads off.
And I love how effective that would have been if you could fucking slap a stormtrooper and
hitting him with a hammer
for a fucking solid 45 seconds.
Him going full, you were never really there on some stormtroopers would have been hilarious.
And then, another thing with stormtroopers, I'm sorry, video games. I can understand you have to sell them. You want to get under that T margin or whatever. You can't have.
Oh yeah, so I noticed that too. The lightsaber bounces off their chest.
Shit, yeah, and like there was actually a really cool moment where it's when Leia's captured and she's about to be put in amber like a fucking mosquito in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Why was that not carbonite? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't fucking understand. But when they're about to do that and the lights cut out and the stormtroopers are clearly scared because they should be because they're fucking can't see shit because they're wearing tinted fucking goggles and then the lights cut out and like, I'm in pitch black. I cannot see shit. And then like you have like a cool moment where like the lightsaber comes on and they get slashed and it gets ruined because all you see is a little bit of like light gray across their armor where it's like, well, I guess they're okay.
And like, that was the perfect opportunity to actually have dismemberment and still keep a decently low rating because you could have had it in darkness.
Yeah, you have the quick flash and then you have two clanks fall to the ground.
Right. And look, that wouldn't have been my favorite, but you could have had it.
Yeah, it would have made...
Back to the robot and the lady scene, I just wanted to say... hey, idiot, instead of blowing yourself
throw
up with
the thermal thing, right?
Throw it instead.
So she grabs it, she holds it up. The stormtroopers, there's like maybe two stormtroopers near her. There's one who, for some reason, is charging Obi-Wan by himself on
the
other side of her. Yeah.
Super fucking cool dude. Just a dope dude.
But she's holding it. She's like, and he's like, don't do it. And she's like, oh, fuck it. I gotta do it. And they're all down a hallway.
In fact, when they see that she has it, they turn and run.
Yeah,
if you've thrown it.
Just fucking roll it at them. Jesus Christ.
I was sitting there like, why? You had that the whole time? Why didn't you throw it out the door?
She slices it open. I got this, guys. Rolls it out the little hole in the door. Oh, fuck.
Oh, that scene is so full of stupid shit. Like, Why did they bring that big ass fucking gun to shoot at the door ineffectually? If she had a lightsaber.
She's got two lightsabers!
And it spins! She could have just pressed it against the door, turned it on so it's on.
Oh my god!
Anything, but like she knew that. Or like during, she does it at the end of her little thing to punctuate it, I guess. But like during the moment where they're both clearly up against the wall talking to each other, just turn it on in the middle, hit him in the gut.
I think that's what she
does at the end of what
she waited till. But like he does do a little dodge. But there's so many moments of people where I just don't understand the motivation. Like there's, it's in right after that scene where Darth Vader comes in, and it's a pretty sweet moment where the ship takes off. He grabs it out of the air, drops it down, rips it out.
And then another one takes off.
He looks up and he's like, "Oh fuck!" It's
like fuck. I got a cool down on ship drop.
Yeah, I'm real fucking puffed from the last one, but I won't show it.
I won't even throw my lightsaber ineffectually or anything. I'll just kind of stand here and watch, and like.
Was there a pilot in that ship? Is he like
had to be?
Is he like right there waiting? He like fucking puts it down, puts his hands up. He's like, "They're coming in for me. They're coming in." And then Darth Vader turns around and walks away. He wakes up for like 15 minutes, and he's like, "Is no one coming? Am I okay? Did they
think this was unmanned? Star Wars doesn't do that."
I mean, there is autopilot, but I don't think they could.
I don't think autopilot is take off and shoot to the sky.
I don't fucking know. But, and speaking about ships, what the fuck was up with this? CGI for ships is something Star Wars is really good at.
You could just have models.
Models.
We're happy with models.
The fucking, what are they called? I forget. The ones they use at Hoth with the fucking tethers and shit that they come in. Those look so bad. Those look so janky. They didn't look like they even took up any space. Those were the most I'm acting to nothing, like things going on there. No. And then
it's crazy to me that they didn't do models because one, everybody, and I do mean everybody, would have like shit their pants happy just seeing models, just hearing that there were models.
Who doesn't,
and it's you could cheaper.
Who doesn't have a fucking Star Wars toy? Like you got that much fans working, nobody can be like, "Oh, I got this from home."
Yeah,
you know how many of those nerds will be fucking shopping at the bits being, "Oh, I can make a model? I could do that?"
It would have been a slam dunk. Everybody would have loved it, regardless of what your feelings on Star Wars even. Just the fact of saying it was a model, people would have been like, "Oh, it's a model?"
Yeah,
like in The Last Jedi, one of the few things that a lot of people do like, even the people who don't, is that Yoda was a puppet again.
And he wasn't even a good puppet. Like yeah, no, I was like, "Oh, we could have done the CG Force. He was a Force ghost. We could have done that. That would have been fine. It looked gross."
I agree, but a lot of people loved that he was a puppet, and he wasn't even a good puppet.
Yeah,
you could have had models, and it'd been great.
It's fucking, and that it does. So no. For Star Wars, if you haven't liked Star Wars in a while, the one thing you could like clamp onto is how visually appealing everything is. But it feels like we're slowly losing that more and more.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars is really good at the like settings, the ships, and the aliens.
So I said this in the Book of Boba Fett episode. For all that show's faults, the actual set design was awesome.
Yeah, but once you start doing like the CG sets and
it's
stuff,
it's starting
to look worse and worse. And now we're doing that with ships.
Yeah,
and like there was aliens in the show and they looked good. And now I'm just counting down until when do the aliens start looking
right? Like shit. Well, when do instead of having in like alien prosthetics, we just have a guy in a golf ball suit?
Well, I mean, even the CGI for the alien, when they do CGI, like I'm pretty sure they do in this show, it does look pretty good, but I'm just waiting for that clock to tick until they stop caring for it, and it doesn't.
I remember when I was watching the first episode of this show, and I was texting, because you'd already watched it, and I was like, why does this look filmed and shot worse than like fan films on YouTube?
The camera work in this show is so bad. That's my main problem with any fight. is the camera work on it is so bad.
Any fight, literally every single fight.
Yeah, any blaster fight, any lightsaber fight.
It really shows in the lightsaber fights.
Yeah, the last fight, I do think as a duel, I liked the last fight. That's another thing of this fitting well. For me, it was believable for Obi-Wan to go on that 20 years and like his connection with the Force really weakens. He's just an old man. So like the clunky fights in the original movie, I could make that make sense. And that being a 20-year gap, like I could feel that. But you've just shortened that cut it in half to being a 10-year gap to when that happens. And it's such a harder pill to swallow. And
like, so
I'm what the fuck was up with that whole your powers are bad? What the fuck was that about?
I don't know, man. So one thing, so I didn't watch Rebels much, but I did see, because everybody said
Rebels much. I've watched the episodes that people are like, hey, you want the good episodes? Here they are.
So I didn't even do that. I watched what people call the good scenes. And one of those is the Darth Maul versus Obi-Wan.
Oh, fight, I fucking love which is that good. One so much.
And
I was actually holding out because we didn't get much of the plot of this show that they would recreate that in live action. And it's weird that they did kind of recreate a scene in live action. And it wasn't that one.
Yeah, it's a strange show all around. But one of the things I liked about that scene is that it goes. Oh, it's the thing everybody praises about it, where Obi-Wan starts with his prequel stance
and switches
to his original trilogy stance. And I thought that's a really cool move. Whereas here, he does the prequel stance, and I was like, okay, well, this is closer to the prequels. That makes sense, I guess. And then he does some real clunky fucking loser shit. So I texted you this directly afterwards, because I watched it, and it's a thing we've mentioned before. We'll just kind of live text each other a show when we're watching it.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it, and I was like, this combines the worst aspects of both trilogies of Star Wars' fighting.
Yeah, it's
stilted, clunky, and weirdly shot like the original trilogy. But the original trilogy had charm, and it had two great actors.
Yeah, and it's only like that because that's the only way it could have been.
Right.
Like, They couldn't hit lightsabers and stuff like that because, well, for one, it was actually an old man. And for two, they were using like this glass filament sort of system
to get the reflections
of light.
So like they couldn't do any better, really.
So, but here, that's not an issue.
That's not an issue anymore. And the prequels have this sometimes awful, but you know, sometimes good balletic action to this.
Yeah,
there's a rhythm, there's a flow.
I really like even though it's absurdly overcomplicated, I really like the style of lightsaber duel in the prequels. I would love if I was ever in a lightsaber fight, I would probably sit there and spin heaps. Like, I would do it with one hand while I'm taking out a blaster from the
gun. I've always said that would be my move. We'd get into the lockup, and I'd pull out a blaster from my hip and shoot them in the gun.
Yeah, that was another thing. Fucking Obi-Wan being all high and mighty. Oh, blasters are so uncivilized.
Was he also a sharpshooter?
That's his go-to fucking weapon.
Was he also a shootist, a cowboy?
I don't fucking know.
Like when he's, this is a sidetrack. I do want to get back to But when him and Leia are with what sounded like Seth Rogen, the alien or whatever, on the back of his truck. And those stormtroopers come out to fight them, and he lifts his robe up and unclips something. I'm like, oh, he's gonna pull out his lightsaber.
I love how unsubtle that scene was too, because like you have like it's clearly the whole thing where you see a farmer with a Confederate flag or whatever, and it's like this. Oh, I'm an old town farmer, and I got a heart of gold, and then he's got the fucking Imperial flag, and he's like, I fucking love the Empire. You don't understand how much I fucking clamor.
But yeah, he like unclips him and was like, oh cool, he's gonna like unclip his lightsaber and fight these dudes. And he pulls out a blaster and just starts fucking shooting from the hip. And it's like, when did he learn to do that?
And then like they like beat him or whatever, because the girl, Tala, I think her name is.
Yeah. The one who is good but is also a Nazi.
Cause she saves him by shooting them in the back. But there's like 4 stormtroopers, dude. You got a lightsaber. Those are not a threat for you.
No, they're not a threat, friend. But back to the duel at hand. Well, the original trilogy has its charm, but is really stilted and slow. The prequels have their charm, but can be overly complicated and hard to really watch because they're just bad editing-wise.
Yeah, I don't think so for the most part. Because of how much is going on, it's hard to keep track. But you can at least understand what you're seeing when you're watching in the prequels.
But they are...
fucking
this
can.
You can't the editing in this is so strange at times that it literally has the worst of both worlds. It's as slow and it's also as complicated and hard to follow. It sucks. Look, genuinely
I will say I think I liked it more as a duel than like some of the worse off duels, like some of the sequel ones. I don't really like all that much because I liked a lot of the stuff they were doing where they were like actually using the force.
Sure, sure.
And then like them throwing heavy things and them actually like hitting each other during, I liked. But it had so many problems. And that a lot of that could be like, okay, like you could deal with some of the problems. You can't deal with the unintelligible camera work.
Right. And one thing that really bugged me about the choreography of this show is Darth Vader is hard to make look cool when he's actually doing stuff. Like, I like Darth Vader. I think he looks cool. And I think in competent hands, he can look super awesome.
I will say I really did like, well, mostly the beginning of it, that fight with him and Reva.
Yes.
She's swinging and he's just moving out of the way.
But I didn't like when they tried to have him move with any speed. He should be slow and lumbering.
He should be slow and powerful.
Right. Like, his swings should be hard to block, but if you're quick, you can just get out of the way kind of stuff. Whereas in this, they kind of tried to have their cake and eat it too, where he was slow and top heavy, but he also swung like a maniac and would try to stomp and turn around. And
That's my biggest issue in lightsaber duels is when they swing like a maniac. It's a big problem in the sequels, except for one fight where I really like it.
That's Finn.
The one with Finn, where he's got no training at all. But he's not even swinging it like a maniac. Just like
he's swinging it like a baseball bat,
which I fucking love. But when you just whip it around with like no thought at all, it makes it so bad.
But I think we've done enough whinging about Star Wars for a little while.
I got a lot of problems with this show. I'm more disappointed with it than anything. This show could have been really powerful, really emotional, especially as a Star Wars fan. But it feels so hollow.
The show just struck me as empty. It was so nothing.
I really hope this doesn't get a season 2 because all the problems I have were, it's like, okay, this is a stretch to actually make it feel like it like connects and fits in. The longer you have that go on, the worse that's going to feel.
I can't imagine another season of this show that isn't even worse.
I'm really, like Boba Fett, really like took me down from my excitement of shows, of like these shows and everything. I sort of had that built back up a bit, but now this, I'm not really excited for anything of the live action.
Yeah,
there's the one of the Tales of the Jedi that's animated, and it tells like, oh, these are stories of different Jedi, like it's an anthology sort of thing.
Hey, that'll probably be okay.
I liked Visions because it was an anthology. It was animated. Like, I didn't like all of them, but because it was an anthology,
there were some that were good. Like, Andor looks okay, at least visually. That is something I like.
Andor, like, it's such a weird thing because it's like there's picking a character and telling a story of that, and then telling just a completely new story where this kind of picks the worst of both things, where you pick a character and tell a story, but it's like a character like nobody cares about.
Yeah, look, like, I'm not excited for the show. I don't think it's going to be good, but I think at least visually, the trailers make it stand head and tails above.
Yeah, but anything else. This show really looked really good visually beforehand too. Like, so did the Boba Fett.
I don't know about that. When I saw those trailers, I wasn't impressed.
Oh, I think because the only thing I know this show had a problem with visually was the translation of the Grand Inquisitor from animated to live action, which I really get that argument for Cad Bane in like the Book of Boba Fett. I'm on the side of, yeah, when you're taking an animated character and making them live action, they're gonna look very different because you design a character so differently animated
than how a real person can look.
But
yeah.
But the race of people he is, like, we've had that in the prequels, and they've had like a very like characteristic like face and everything, and it was a very interesting design, and you just didn't do that for some reason. I don't understand.
I meant like cinematography wise, the actual shot composition, the color grading, I wasn't a fan of, at least.
Yeah,
whereas at least Andor looks like it's being filmed and composited by people who want to.
Yeah, look, you gotta see more than just snippets of
thing.
But yeah, that if that's all that show brings, at least it brings that.
Yeah, look, that's something that even The Mandalorian, which is the best out of all of the shows at that, doesn't always have.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, Mandalorian season 3, I'm still excited for, because that show in itself, in its first two seasons, still hasn't really disappointed me. The Mandalorian episode of Book of Boba Fett was probably the best episode of that show.
I thought you were going to talk about our Mandalorian episode.
Our Mandalorian episode is the best episode of our show.
For just season 1, I haven't seen season 2 yet.
Yeah, we'll probably do that near the time season 3 comes out.
If I can get around to actually watching it.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's gonna be bad. It just feels like so much effort.
I can promise you it's better than all these other ones.
I believe you. I know it's probably going to be okay. I just don't feel like one.
I do think you will probably appreciate season 1 better, because season 1 has that feeling where it's much built much more like a Western.
Love a Western.
And then season 2 does seem like it's catering more to the Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Like with the big Luke Skywalker thing, which I loved, but I could see you being like,
I saw the clip. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
One thing, hey, Star Wars, the company, you said that hiring new people to play old actors, that was a mistake. Here's another mistake for you: pandering to the fans. I get it, they love Star Wars, but every time you do that, it fucking sucks and I hate it.
No, but everybody, like, I know you don't, but even people who aren't like that, everybody really liked that Luke Skywalker scene at the end. That was like a big thing going around on the internet
I know a lot of parts of the internet I frequent hated it.
I know the Skywalker face people weren't too crazy about. Star Wars, I'm totally okay with you pandering to the fans, as long as it's good pandering. I think that Luke Skywalker one was good. I think that's one of the best representations of the character we've gotten in a while. Just having like Bo-Katan or whatever show up, that probably does it for somebody, but I don't care. Who cares about Bo-Katan?
I don't know who that is. Thanks for listening, guys. You can hear us complain about something next week. because that seems to be all we can do.
I don't know what we're doing next week. I don't think anything is on the docket for, hey, this needs to be done, but we'll figure it out. We'll find something to complain about. But look, if you have
really don't about, want our show to be about complaining,
I want good
stuff. We did do Barry and we loved the shit out of that.
But Barry,
it was still complaining because we were like, oh, man, I'm sad.
It was how hard Barry was. I just want something to like gush over Heaps again. That seems nice. So I was listening to what's that fucking song called? Something in the Way, while I was doing dishes at work last night, and I was like, fuck, I want to watch Batman. Batman was like such a magical theatrical moment because I work in the theater, so I was like,
he's in the movies, baby.
I'm in the movies, baby. But like, I'm like, man, I really want to watch Batman again. I wish, like, there's that whole thing with Spider-Man's coming back, and I'm like, I kind of really wish it was Batman coming back.
I don't know why Spider-Man's coming back. That sounds fucking stupid.
It's coming back. They're doing an extended edition or whatever.
Eat shit. I don't want to watch that movie. I like that movie, but this makes me like it less.
I don't know. It depends what it's. Look, I'm all for having a re-release where you could go with your friends and watch. I mean, I'm more for it when it's like an older movie, like when it's
If it was like from the 80s, 90s, fuck, even the
2000s. Oh, if it was Sam Raimi's Spider-Man,
then yeah, that's fine because that needs a re-release. This movie was out less than like 2 years ago.
Yeah, look, movies being at the movies, I'm never gonna hate on. I love the movie theater as a place. Anything to help that keep going, and giving an excuse for you and your friends to be like, hey, you want to go watch Spider-Man again?
Giving you an excuse to show up to Andrew's place of work and asking for popcorn, and he spits in your popcorn. He does do that. Everybody who orders popcorn from him.
Although it's so weird to here's the thing about the movie industry. It's so weird to me how much people will. I didn't do this because of how I hold the tin just naturally. I hold like the bottom of the popcorn, like what's the thing called, bin?
Yeah. Bucket,
like by like holding the bottom rim of it. But I watched someone flip out on one of my coworkers. Because their thumb was on the inside of the rim.
And what, did they twist and just drop all their shit? Or?
Well, no, that's how they were holding it as they were scooping it. And I'm like, so you're fine with them dragging their hand through the popcorn as they're scooping it, like dropping it in. But the moment they put their thumb on the little bit of the rim, you flip the fuck out and you're like, oh my God. But like, we're going fucking elbow deep, basically, into that popcorn where we're grabbing your popcorn. But that's
even more complaining. Separately. Have fun with that. Yeah. Thank you for listening. You can contact us at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
At our email at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
There's our social media. Like our Twitter, at Atomic Andrew. I don't know why you're just repeating me. or our Instagram.
Or maybe our Instagram, maybe. At Atomic Andrew 2020.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, that's it for this week, guys. We love you. We appreciate you.
Genuinely, we do appreciate every listen we get. If you're still listening at this point, wow.
Look, if you're still listening and you're like, here's that good thing. Here's a good thing you should check out. Do an episode, so maybe you'll love it.
Yeah, if you're tired of us complaining as well.
Caveat, that comes at a risk of us thinking it's dog shit and talking shit on it, and you're going, oh, I love that thing.
Yeah,
that
look, if you love a thing and you try to tell us to check it out, we hate that thing. That's maybe don't put your real name in so we don't touch it on you. All right. Bye.
All right. Yeah. I'll catch you guys around. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.